Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Pilevsky. Joining me in the studio is WBJC's Mary Zajac. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Jonathan.
So let's talk about wine trends. It's the beginning of the year. Everybody talks about trends. And I think wine is very interesting in that regard. Things go in and out of fashion, just like the beautiful scarf you're wearing, which is paisley.
Is it in or out of fashion?
Paisley, you never know, you know? I mean, that's what's so fascinating about it. So I am on a bit of a Suave kick, which is, Suave is a region in northeastern Italy, near Slovenia, I guess, near Venice. And they produce a wonderful grape called Garganaga. And we were reminiscing that back in the 80s, everybody was drinking this inexpensive Suave called Suave Bola, and maybe that kind of ruined Suave for a little while. So we thought we'd talk about some of the wines that have changed over the years and our perceptions of them, how they've changed. So let's talk about one that's really interesting. Just the very word Chablis brings up so many different things, particularly for Americans.
Right. If you think about Almaden, was it Mountain Chablis, I think? It's something that you just see in a box these days. Pretty much that Chablis was generic white wine. I'm not sure that it was even made from Chardonnay grapes. We were talking about this off mic in regards to Hardy Burgundy, Gallo Hardy Burgundy. We're not really sure if Hardy Burgundy was made with Pinot Noir or what went in there, but it was sort of taking a classic region from France and marketing it to a mass market audience and really just making it generic red and generic white.
Mm-hmm.
10, 20 years later, we had the Chardonnay and Merlot rage. That was a little bit different, where winemakers outside of Burgundy were taking sort of characteristics of Burgundian Chardonnay, namely that rich buttery flavor that you would get from oak aging, and really blowing that up almost to make it sort of a caricature of the wine.
And the end point of that was people literally putting oak chips in their wine to make it more oaky and buttery. And then there was, of course, the inevitable reaction against that. And people still today say, no, I don't like Chardonnay, because they expect to get that oaky, almost oily, buttery taste from those full-blown California Chardonnays. And there are many Chardonnays made in California now that aren't like that. And there's a whole host of incredible Chardonnays from Burgundy that are nothing like that at all.
I think the current trends that we're seeing now in Pinot Noir and Malbec as well are doing the same thing. With Pinot Noir, they took the sort of delicate cherry tones and turned it into Luden's cough drops.
Another example of this would be with Cabernet Sauvignon, which California cabs became so tannic, so intense, so fruit forward and alcoholic that eventually, people were having dinner and falling asleep. And now California cabs, I think the trend now is toward a more balanced, food-oriented wine that is going to be a little bit more laid back and a little bit more friendly to just the casual drinker.
I sort of like to think about what comes next. I'd love to see Riesling. I would sort of love and hate to see Riesling take off, because I don't want to see generic versions of Riesling.
For sure, there will be something that will take the wine world by storm. A few years ago, it was Yellowtail.
But it seems to go maybe every 10 years.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating.
So we're due.
Yeah, it's time. We're waiting. We're waiting patiently. Well, if you have thoughts on wine trends, we'd love to hear them. It is something that's really interesting to discuss. And it's something people in the industry discuss all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you want to be importing that wine.
Exactly.
For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Pilevsky.
I'm Mary Zajac.
Cheers.